This is a very mysterious passage. We're getting close to where we'll end St. Mark's Gospel. We're in chapter 11. We'll do chapter 12, and then chapter 13 is the what they call the eschatological discourse. And we won't do that. And we'll start on another gospel. The most important thing I want to mention now, because I want to talk about 1 Peter, prayer. You want your prayer to be heard? Forgive everybody. It's really simple. You see? Forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions. Now, that means a grievance. It doesn't mean an emotional problem. It's presumed we'll get over those. It means a grievance that really objectively offended you seriously, and you forgive. It's like the other texts which talk about the forgiveness of enemies. An enemy is somebody who wills evil to you. That's an enemy. Not somebody you don't like. You got to get over that too, I mean, obviously. But the stakes are higher than that. And this is some of the things Peter talks about. We're closing in on the end of 1 Peter 2. We're in 4 and it ends in 5. Beloved, the end of all things is at hand. Do you think that's true? I mean, he wrote this back in the first century. Was he wrong? What do you think? See, I mean, he's trying to say, look, whether it's today, tomorrow, or the 76th century, it's nothing. It's nothing. Do you know whether you're going to last? You see the world corrupting. If you're around when it happens, you'll see the whole world disappear. What guarantee do you have that this isn't the end for you too? This is it. That's what he's getting at, you see. Be serious and sober-minded so that you will be able to pray. This advice is so... You notice this in 1 Peter, how beautiful it is. Huh? If you want to pray, keep your mind sober, relaxed, attentive, not driven by fears or angers or whatever, and certainly not stirred up by the media. See, be sober-minded. You see? Why? Because the end of all things is at hand. I mean, everything you're so involved in is not going to last. So be serious so that you'll be able to pray. Take care of your mind, is what he's saying. And I've mentioned this before, but you know, some people are so, I don't know, they want to get the latest and the greatest from the news. And sometimes, because the news is usually bad, it's like people who like horror films. They want to go and get scared and get a charge out of it, you know. And it's okay if it's not okay, but at least it's just a movie. But this is reality. And that's not the way to confront it. Be serious and sober-minded. And then he moves up one. Above all, let your love for one another be intense. Because love covers a multitude of sins. And that's true. Real love. It's amazing somebody has done it, Father Sneek, got a 3-volume work on agape in the New Testament. And it's such an important notice, you see. So let your love for one another be intense, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. That's part of love. Now he starts something else, part of love. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied graces. He presupposes that we will be given gifts. so that we can serve one another. He's going to list some of them in a moment. The gifts are at the service of love. And they're at the service first of the brethren and then of the church. And of the church to evangelize, to make the Lord known. And you do this as good servants of God's varied graces. Whoever preaches, let it be with the words of God. Whoever serves, let it be with the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, if God loves this community, He will give gifts to all the brethren so that they can serve one another and build up the body. Those are the gifts, the foundational gifts. Then, if the body is strong and has got a pure life, then the gifts that preach the gospel. To invert that order is a very dangerous thing. You don't need me to tell you how many people who one day are up there looking great and the next day they've disappeared. It was Jessie Penn Lewis. Some of you may remember her. A very great evangelical preacher and thinker. Belonged to the Keswick movement in England. And she wrote two books about the renewal in Wales. The first one, there was just as happened in, was it Uganda? Yeah, I think it was. About 15 years ago, the Holy Spirit just fell in Wales. Just people gave up their alcoholism, were faithful to their spouses, began to treat their neighbors well. You know, it just was this explosion of grace and praise and gifts. And then it all disappeared. And Jessie Penn Lewis is trying to figure out why. She said, you know why? Because the pastors did not look into their own soul to see the cracks in their own psyche and attend to their own vices. And so the vices got greater and greater. And pretty soon they were helpless and unequal to serve this grace, and it disappeared. That was a very sobering book, so I think I forgot the name of it already. The Renewal in Wales, I think. But the warning is, if you use your gifts, and that's all you got, they won't produce much fruit. And pretty soon, you could be in danger, unless you attend to your life. So that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And now he starts to something new. Still in this exhortation. Beloved, do not be surprised that a trial by fire is occurring among you, as if something strange were happening to you. Now, of course, you know, we who interpret the Bible for a living, what happened? Is it a persecution? Was it a rift in the community? What happened? We don't know. Though you'll see from the letter, if you read it, he's very often strengthening people in trial. It's though the Christians in this area were not popular. They were odd, they were strange, and they rejected the ways of life of the culture. I pointed out, I think, several times, and then you all know it anyway. The charge against the early Christians was atheism, because they wouldn't worship the gods of the society. And that frightened people, because you could disturb the whole weather and everything else by doing that. See? But rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when His glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. You see the picture? He starts off, the end of all things is at hand. Whether it's at hand tomorrow or the year 2086, it's coming. And what shape are you in? Are you going to disappear with the world? Or is there something in you that's going to last forever? And if there is, then have no fear. But he puts it in the context of love for each other and serving each other with our gifts. And then there's a solid base to pray for other people, to welcome other people, to make the Lord known. And all of that is in this letter. In one place he's addressing wives whose husbands are pagan. And he said, you can win them over by the way you live. So it's a very beautiful letter, really. But it's full of the very simple basics that we need to live the Christian life.